Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Let's get some headlines.
Are they going to be any good this year? And don't tell me you do. You know, you have no idea, right? That's the scary part. We have no
idea.
I'm a little scared. Because they can't. Dude.
I'm a little scared.
Dude, because no matter how deep you go into the roster, they all end games the same way.
Well, I am definitely nervous because that last year was a year from hell because they had more blown fourth quarters than anybody in the NBA. They were the worst fourth quarter team. They blew double-digit leads. They were the worst clutch team in the league.
And you don't want to see anything like close to that. And guess what? In the game.
And they're also very banged up right now. I haven't seen anybody this preseason, which has been annoying. Yesterday, a toe nail fell off, and I couldn't even watch a scrimmage, which I was like, are you kidding me?
Dude, don't. Please.
I'm not joking about the injury. I'm just saying, like, can you, like, of all the other injuries, it's like, what hasn't happened yet? Toenail falling off. I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me?
And guess what? Painful.
That hurts more than the other ones.
I'm sure, but because
it's like a burning hurt.
So
and you rub the top of your toe on everything.
So yeah, like part of me is nervous about the season, but then there's part of stuff I'm really excited about because I do think that we got some. I think that Jovic is going to have a really good year. I think Ware's going to have a really good year. I'm very curious about Bam's season. I think this is like a legacy season for Bam in a lot of ways.
I would say not as much this season, but I would say when we put the next three seasons together
mm-hmm.
before these young guys come up for their second contract, if everything has been built and confirmed and they play a certain way, like – all the people before Bam have kind of taught him, right, that basketball here is played a certain way. That's when you'll know what his legacy is. A carrier of the
his professionalism is known. Like there's never that's never a question. I'm talking about
win.
I'm talking
win.
About yeah. Can he be an impact player to raise this team up?
That's
and without but Tyler. And I think that's an important thing because I think with Jimmy leaving, right? And everybody here knows. You guys know. We love Bam. Bam's that's a guy yeah. we've been in his corner for a long time. But I do think that, yeah, you're the max guy. Like Tyler, we're what, 4 days away? He's not getting the max, at least now, and he's hurt. But he's not out. Okay. If you're an all-star, you got Norm Powell next to you as a near all-star. Can you guys keep this afloat even until he gets back? And can you bring this thing? I think it's a huge deal for him. We cannot afford a Bam Adebayo offensive slump to start the season. Not at all. And so
you think he tries to do so much offensively
this guy,
that it sets him back?
I don't know. But he's going to be there could be a season where he ends up. He's number two in scoring by the end of this season. Like that's where he is in numbers. But like everybody has acted like, hey, Jimmy left and you guys lost everything. And everybody's kind of forgotten all the big things that you had in part of those finals right. runs. And after a year that they had last year, I kind of get it. Like, I understand people are doubting. He's not on any of these defensive lists. He's not on any of these, you know, he's kind of on the fringe, which I'm not saying that's even unfair. When you have 37 wins, that's what's going to happen. And that's why I'm very curious to see if you get this guy, if this guy can live up to what he's shown, then okay. Then I think the Heat are going to be okay. But if he's going to do this whole, I'm going to sit back and make everybody comfortable thing, and I'm just here to anchor the defense. Dude, they can't afford that right now. I can't afford a 17-point-a-game Bam Adebayo.
I can tell you exactly how you're feeling. You have a guy that is going to be number two on the all-time list, and you can't think of any moments or seasons that he was as impactful as the number two scorer in franchise history.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Look,
so it's not a matter of is he not good.
Here's what I would say. It's not that I don't think that he's an impactful player. I think that the reason that Bam gets the max contract is Bam very clearly has shown on a team that can get to the finals that he could be one of the top three players. There's no doubt about that. He's never going to be played off in the playoffs. He can guard the best player on the other team, and he's going to provide. But with Jimmy gone now, this is your chance to really be the face of the franchise. And everybody's kind of looking at Tyler, and they're saying, well, they don't have Tyler, they're sunk. And, like, respectfully, Tyler wasn't there for a lot of those winning drives. You know, he was there for the bubble. But for the other years, you know, he was either played off the floor or they've been knocked in the first round or he was injured. And I think for Bam, this has to be the time where it's like, hey, if you're an all-star and you're pissed off about all this stuff and everyone's overlooking you, well, like, what are you going to do about that? Because this is like, there's no reason for it. Anyway, Jimmy's gone. We need somebody's ass to get to the free throw line a lot. We need you to be more efficient. You're you know, I understand you're an undersized big man, but you can't have the efficiencies that you had last year. And, I mean, the first, look, he got a lot of that stuff. If you go and look at the last 2 months of the season, a lot of that stuff did get back on track, but it took too long. And that's the fascinating thing for me. So for a guy who everybody has said we're given the keys to, it's like, are you going to be a franchise icon? Or is it going to be like, hey, yeah, he was a great Heat player. There's no doubt about that. But is he in the class of Zoe? Is he in the class of D Wade? Is he going to be in that pinnacle?
That's the point I was trying to make, is that his numbers put him in a place that we don't consider him yet.
Because right now he was an awesome wingman. And he had big moments. Like, he's had big moments against the Celtics. He's had big moments against the Bucks. There's no doubt about that. But I'm saying, okay, but now it's your franchise. Now you're the guy. Jimmy's gone. The Jimmy training wheels are over. That's it. So that's what I'm curious to see with him. And now there's not even the case that, hey, no Tyler here for at least a month. Like, can you keep everybody afloat? Can you gather all these guys together? And by just gathering, I don't mean babysit the offense and fill in cracks. Like, can you go take over a game? Even if
when third quarter comes, can you be one of the guys that say, time to turn this around?
Right. That's what I'm curious to
see. But that's what I mean. It's like, he has numbers, but in those numbers, it's hard to find moments where, you know, you would say, that guy's the second highest scorer in Heat history. Mm-hmm. Remember that time when he did this? Remember when he did this? You mentioned two moments, and I think with all those guys around him, there's a bunch of moments. And so, but I get it. I get it. We need Bam to like. But here's the thing. There's a fine line between doing that and pushing to do that.
True.
I want it to just happen.
Yeah, I get you.
Because if you try too hard to do it, then you have 1 for 15.
But that's why I think this team, you know, with Tyler out, like, I'm kind of curious, because I feel like, all right, there's really not something that should force it. Like, Bam can handle the ball. Bam is a playmaker. Bam can shoot. There's not going to be anything that takes that away from him. But I can't afford lid on the rim for all those little floaters. And maybe put your head down. Get these guys to try and guard you. Get to the free throw line. I think that people were kind of excited the last preseason game, even though it sucked.
Because, yeah, like, team went to the line like 10 times.
He's been getting to the line. He's been getting to the line a lot. And I'm not even saying, like, this is not a case of, like, I'm just curious to see where this is with him. Mm-hmm. Because if he can be better than he was last year, I think that he's going to be okay. I think they can have a good season. If we're going to get what we got from him last year, then, yeah, I am scared. Then you need outrageous stuff like Nico to be incredible and Kalel to be incredible, because they're going to go through their ups and downs. They're 21 and 22. He's 29.
But then you hope guys like Wiggins and Powell and Davion.
I think those guys are going to be fine. But, you know, Bam is the guy. Like, there's a responsibility that he bears with this team.
I mean, you put together a hell of a defensive team.
Yeah.
Scoring seems like we're in the same boat we were last year.
Hey, I can't deny that.
And then we're gonna go, and here's what's gonna happen. And I'm gonna lose it. You know, we scored 108 points. Our defense has to be better. We got to keep them under that. We scored enough to win.
I think Eric Reed told me last. I was talking to him before one of the preseason games, and he told me that, I think this is a stat, I'm crediting you, Eric. I think he said that the average margin for the average point production in a win last year in the NBA was 120.
Right.
In a win. So across the league. And
right.
That's almost like That's almost like another planet for the Heat. You know that
right.
They gotta get to.
And what was the Heat?
I gotta go and see what their average was. I'm not sure. But I was like, oh, you know, can they get there?
Didn't they break a record last year?
Four?
Was that last year or the year before they had the most points scored?
Given up?
No, scored.
I think it was the year before. When they beat Portland by 60?
Yeah, when they had 150 something or whatever.
Let's see.
Yeah, those were fun days. That was like that 70 point.
I did enjoy that stupid Joe Cronin beatdown.
That was like the 70 point outburst by the Dolphins.
The Heat last year.
You could split that up all the games this year and still not get the
time. The Heat last year averaged 110 points.
Yeah.
The teams below them. The Pelicans, the Sixers, the Wizards, the Magic, who are known as like a really bad offensive team, the Nets and the Hornets.
There you go. So is this
teams that scored more than the Heat last year per game, the Raptors, the Blazers, the Jazz.
So if you want to know what, like, we can talk about defense all you want, but you're in the bottom of the league in scoring.
Yeah. They got to score, and they don't have their top scorer.
And that doesn't work like that anymore. Like, the bad boys don't work where you could score 90 points and win by 10. But that's the impression they're giving us, they have over the last couple of years.
I do think, though, this is the thing with Tyler, with him being out, that sucks. And as much people bag on Tyler, like, having a backcourt, yeah, it may not be the best defensively, but having a backcourt with the shooters of Norman Powell and Tyler Hero, and the way that Norm can get to the ball, and then you have Nico, who is a good shooter. That's got something there. That's got some intrigue from time to time.
Okay, but what did they do to Tyler last year?
Mm-hmm.
And called it and said, this is what we're going to do?
I know, but everybody's got, realistically.
Really?
Everybody's got to deal with that. That's not the Thunder. And that's
They tried to go at Halliburton, but he's 6'9", so he can just.
He's not 6'9". He's 6'5", but he doesn't have T-Rex arms. And they had Miles, you know, they got Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, and they got Mathurin and Nesmith. Like, those are guys who get after it. But Davion, like, that's why you got guys like Davion, and you got guys like Wiggins, and you do have guys like Kalel if he can get all that stuff from rim protection. Like, they do have good defensive players. Every team basically in the NBA is going to have a sieve on offense.
Yeah, but
they
really, really took advantage of
them. I understand. Okay. I understand. They got absolutely embarrassed by the Cavs. I cannot paint that any other way.
Called them out.
And got called out by a guy who's his own parking cone.
Right. You know how bad defensively you have to be when a guy who is known for not playing defense calls you out?
Garland.
Garland.
And Garland's got. And now,
he ain't defended nobody.
And now Garland's coming off a turf toe.
Let me tell you.
Turf
toe. Like, dude, I had turf toe. It brought me to tears. Like, I was a grown ass man crying because I couldn't walk. I had to walk. I couldn't put shoes on. Like, I could feel my heart beat in my toe. It's the worst.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
This is fantasy football update. Tito's Ame Vodka is America's favorite vodka and Tobin's favorite vodka for a reason. Hey. It's distilled 6 times till it's just right. Fix your camera, Leroy. Tito's is known for great vodka and giving back and doing good for dogs. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Incorporated, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly, which I call Tito's.
You never do.
Tito's is that gentle friend that taps on your shoulder and says, time for you to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. You know what I realized?
Because you don't even taste it. It's smooth.
Black out immediately.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's six times distilled.
I don't think I've had a drink in 2 months.
Really?
You're not from New Orleans. You're not from New Orleans.
Not since the taste test?
No, but after that. 3 weeks ago. I went to Maikai.
Oh, man.
I had two drinks there.
How was it? How was it?
I mean, they have an outside bar now.
Okay.
I was annoyed because they make you pay for parking. They make you pay for valet. Right. So they funnel you in and then go, that'd be $8. I'm like, why?
Is valet the last thing taken? Like, is that the last reason to have cash now? That's like the last thing. When I was in Orlando, I was like, I gotta tip the valet.
Right.
That was the last thing. I was like,
so I think I had a couple of I had a couple of Mai Tais. That was it.
Okay.
And then, you know, you ever go out drinking or you go out somewhere with like a group of people and everybody knows everybody, and then you look at them acting crazy and you're like, I ain't gonna drink a lot because there's somebody gonna do something stupid. Right.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Tell me how it feels, because I'm always the person that they're like, oh, I gotta slow
down. Well, dang, because you know, at home, it's hard to tell who's drunk and who's sober because everybody's drunk.
Dude, that's crazy. I'm not even joking.
We're not kidding.
You see an old man walking down the street at like 7 a.m. with his dog, and he's drinking out of a coffee cup. In New Orleans, you're like, oh, he's drinking.
Yeah.
When did Jack Daniels come in? Was that 2 months ago?
That was a while.
It was like last.
It
was right before
I really have
Media Days.
I still got to find out how to make that coffee drink.
I really have got, because Vlad was like,
that
you
was amazing.
Vlad's like looking at my YouTube page. He goes, you really have been drinking a lot of that Jack Daniels. And it's the only thing I'm drinking it for is after Dolphins losses. And by the way, heat season's right around the corner. So, but I was like, man, I really have drank a lot of this Jack Daniels bonded from those Dolphins losses.
Oh, man.
Man.
I can't drink angry.
Anyway,
it doesn't go.
Love well, Tito's. I think the first place I really like started liking Tito's and lemonade when I was at the Miranda Lambert concert with the pink hat.
The pink lemonade. Was it pink lemonade?
No, it was a regular lemonade with the pink hat.
You can. I'm telling you. Now, I use my Tito's for transfusions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what transfusion is? You never had a transfusion?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
It is vodka, grape juice, mm-mm, ginger ale.
You lost me with grape juice.
You don't like grape juice? Who doesn't like grape juice? Have you ever heard anybody say grape juice is nasty?
No.
She doesn't like grape juice.
Did I say it was nasty?
Hates kittens today.
Yeah. No, wait. Jennifer, did we not have this conversation?
No.
And you said, like, yeah, when we left? And I said, if you could, you'd knock somebody out. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, okay, so that's the same as hating kittens.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Listen, we're all friends here. What can we do to make you feel better?
Apparently call 911.
I have a couple ideas.
Point! One, please call 911. Oh my goodness. That was look, she can't even say nothing.
It wouldn't be the worst idea.
So, Andy Slater, this is for fantasy. If you guys are looking at the Dolphins.
Wait,
Andy
Slater, give him the conditions first. Then we can talk about it.
Andy Slater says, new Dolphins-Browns game in Cleveland could have 50 to 60 mile per hour wind gusts. The National Weather Service says it is, quote, certainly a system worth keeping an eye on as a stronger storm may materialize. Current forecast, 94% chance of rain, 36 mile per hour wind gusts, 65 degrees.
Hey, who does 94% humidity? Just go 95. What's the difference?
Got to keep it accurate.
At that point, you might as well say 100, right? Have you ever seen 90% chance of rain and then not rain? Same as 100.
That's crazy.
So you're telling me the Browns with a rookie quarterback and a good running game in inclement weather against the worst defense against the run – probably going to run the ball.
Yep.
Dan, let me tell you.
And also,
if me and you were up in Cleveland, right, you'd have to hold a 45-pound weight to maintain your position. And I would be wide-based. That 36-mile-an-hour winds off the water and gusting to 60, just imagine what a field goal is going to look like. Or.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, no. Let me see.
You know what I'm worried about.
The old Tua pop gun.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, if you got Waddle on your fantasy team.
What's his over-under?
Oh, let me see.
65?
Let me see if they've set
it's
it.
It's got to be around there.
65, 70?
I'll check up the old hard.
I mean, they only have three numbers on offense. It's Devon Achane, Darren Waller, and Jaylen Waddle. They don't even try anything else. So
every now and then they do the token throw to Diaz Rich or somebody.
Washington. Malik Washington, Washington. 2 yard run or something like that.
Yeah. Has anybody seen Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
Who?
He starts.
He starts.
Yeah, they brought him in.
The only mention of the game. And starting in the for wide receiver.
Let's see.
That's it.
Dolphins are 2.5-point dogs. Player props. Let's see. We got receiving Jaylen Waddle. 64.5. You guys nailed it. Did you know that, Dan? Did you look already?
I didn't look.
No, we just guessed.
Wow, you guys nailed it. 64.5 is his over-under. Darren Waller's 36.5. Devon Achane is 29.5 receiving. Two is passing. 216.5.
Whew.
And what's the over under for
this? Here's the kicker, though. You ready?
Over under set at 39.
If I'm not mistaken, the wind blows across the field.
When does that new stadium open? Is that like 3 years down the road? How long?
They didn't start building it yet.
Oh, they haven't? I thought.
Yeah.
So it's
weird because it's right by the airport. I mean, like right next to the airport.
Doing that Inter Miami thing.
Let me see. Brook Park.
Wait. You're saying that the one right here?
No, I'm talking about the Browns.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like
they're building like a new domed stadium, but like it's supposed to be like football.
Well, if it's domed, it doesn't matter.
No, I know, I know. I was just wondering when is it done?
Yeah. No.
I know that the whole I figured it was a couple of years because they just came out the renderings last year, but I didn't know. Doesn't matter. Anyway, that's a lot of wind for Tua.
Dude,
makes me
nervous.
That's
a lot of wind for anybody.
Yeah.
Like I don't even like. Oh man, you watch how short these passes are.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we haven't gotten to this, so here's Tua's apology for those who haven't heard it.
Do we really do like?
Hmm?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Trust me.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
All right, so I, as a leader of this team, of the Miami Dolphins, the comments that had been said, I would say I've made a mistake, and I'm owning up to that right now. I've talked to guys on the team about it, talked to the leaders about it, and
the leaders,
that they know my heart. They know that the intent was right, but no matter the intent, the intent can be right, but when things get misconstrued or however the media wants to portray it, that leaves a void of silence and a lot of questions for the guys on our team. Now, being 1-5, we talk a lot about, all right, we got to get this going. We got to get this going. Come in excited to go to work. Forget about the noise. And I feel like I just added onto that for our guys.
You did.
For myself, I got to look at myself as the leader, protecting the team. I don't feel like I did that to the best of my abilities. I felt like I let the emotions of the game get to me after the game. And, that's something that I can learn from as a leader on this team. And what happens in-house should be protected. And none of that should have gotten out. And so want to publicly apologize about that. Want to move forward, and now want to focus on the Cleveland Browns.
That's fine. That's fine. Like
doesn't sound like you're very impressed.
No, but because I would say this to me, I think the guys are going to give him crap about it.
Oh yeah,
because they know who he is more than we do. And so if they can make light of it, that means they all move forward, mm-hmm. right? I don't think
if they make light of it,
they will.
I mean,
I
think it depends.
I've heard some guys say some pretty ridiculous stuff and come and apologize, and next thing you know, he had like stuff in his locker to and you just move forward. It happens.
Damage is done.
Damage is done, my friend.
The damage. Like, here, I think the damage can only be done if you already felt a certain way about Tua, right?
His teammates?
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they feel that way about him. And was it a ridiculous thing say, especially at that moment. Right. But 1 in 5 is speaking more than what Tua is saying.
Well, that's the thing. Is like,
and that adds to
I don't know if the apology
this.
Really matters at this point. I think Jack Jones said it best to Perk, where he was just like, we're like, F what he said. We're 1 in 5. Like,
right. That's, you know, but like, that's how everybody
I don't think he cared. I don't think he liked what he said. Or I don't think
somebody
liked.
But he didn't care. Like, that's not, who cares?
If they lose, like, if they lose, it's the apology's not going to matter. If they win, then it could be a rallying point for at least a week. It could be an elixir.
That's just it. I think we're basing his sincerity and how the team feels based on their ability to play football, which is a bit ridiculous because we've already seen how they play football.
Yeah, and I think we're also basing the sincerity of, like, are you, like, I'm sure he knows, like, I stepped in it because I made a swirl. Like, no 1-6 team is getting the, or 1-5 team was getting this coverage this week. And it's only
right.
simply because
of what he said, right?
Of what he said that put them in the spotlight this week.
You make, look, he did a terrible job of reading the situation, reading the room. I mean, when he says my emotions got the best of me, I said, well, you'd be the first one on that team to show some emotion, right? Like, there's no, and I don't know how to deal with that. A lot of times if somebody you like on your team gets in a little trouble, you rally behind them. So if you see a different kind of intent or energy, you could look at him and say, yeah, they're really trying to rally behind Tua. However, it's hard to rally behind somebody when the thing that you do the worst is, like, the main thing that determines your physicality, right? You are terrible at stopping the run. Running the football is, like, a man's man type of game, right? That's the, hey, we're going to flex on you. We're going to walk all over you. We're going to dominate you. That's running the football. You ask any defender. You can ask Crowder. You can ask Kimbo Camper, right? Tough. When the team starts going downhill on you and you can't stop it, you're looking at each other like, it's going to be a long day. Now, let's add the conditions so that if neither team can throw the ball, and it's quite possible there's conditions where I don't care how strong your arm is, you can't throw it, right? If there's a situation where now all we can play is smash mouth football, then what?
No trickery.
Right, because you know what? They call that Tuesday. You got to go into the safe and try to pull it out because you haven't been that. So, like,
what did I call this game, J-Fig? Do you have what I put on my notes for this game?
1 second, let me look for
see
it.
See if I can find it. What did I recall this was going to be in my
come on.
Game
Come on, Mary J. Mary Day Blige. Someone please call 911.
All right. Sunday?
Yeah.
It is considered a don't lose game.
Agreed. Like, they're 1-5. Like, what is the – you wait. You think they're the place to be making demands on what kind of things they can do in a football game?
What NFL team doesn't label a game a don't lose game?
No, no, dude, he did it for every game.
He has.
I don't have the time to get into it now, Dan. But I'll one day, you know, if we get a little bit, I'll explain it. I'll get down to it. We gotta take a break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
People would think we'd be sitting here looking at TV, talking about sports.
Yep.
Our last conversation was about the Daryl Hall and John Oates beef.
Yeah, they just, I think, ended a long time feud.
It was playing in the hallway.
Beach was playing it.
I guess
the beach. I think the beach is on right now. Yeah, they had, I think, a multi-year beef that just got squashed.
You know why? They're going back on tour.
Definitely.
Promise you.
Definitely.
That's how it worked. But Daryl Hall can make it without John Oates.
Yes.
But without Hall, Oates is
I
just.
I don't think Oates has done much. I know that he hung out with Hockman one time.
Really?
Yeah.
He still got that mustache?
Of course.
Maybe he had that big old porn stash.
Yeah, no, he's always had that luxurious mustache.
But he was just, he was Harmony.
Yeah, he was Harmony.
He didn't have no songs. Usually, even in the biggest group, somebody get a song or a solo or something.
No,
every video, he just playing on the keyboard. I don't even know if they're using the keyboard.
I don't even know if he did bring the keyboard. You know, I'm not even sure. Speaking of oats, JFig crunching on some oats right now.
Yep.
She will.
We weren't talking about you. We were talking about the Hall & Oates.
Yep.
Dispute. Did you like Hall & Oates?
They're not like my favorite. What's going on? Is there something in the news?
They just fixed their beef. So I've said, I bet you they go back on tour. Oh. And we were talking about how Oates was like backup singer.
We used to have the Hall & Oates bit back on the Zaslow and Hockman Hockman and Zaslow morning show.
Yeah, somebody had it.
And Zaslow really hated that bit, but I loved it because I loved Hall & Oates. And then at one point, Hockman and I had to go serve punishment because we got our NFL picks wrong, and so we had to have sandwich boards. And my sandwich board said, "Honk if you like Hall & Oates."
I drew
Oates because he had the mustache.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Let us get to the mixed bag. You guys know on this show, we're no strangers to fat shaming. You guys familiar with Lane Kiffin?
Oh, yeah.
Lane
Kiffin. The coach that keeps failing forward?
Amazing, yeah. Lane Kiffin had a thing or two to say about Kirby Smart.
Off the wall question, you and Kirby, two most, probably some of the more demonstrative coaches on the field. Who do you think burns more calories in a game, you or him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I walked by the TV and saw his press conference today, so it doesn't look like he's burned too many calories.
Wow! Hey! Y'all can't say nothing about me.
We can.
Oh no.
It's right up there.
No. That is. Wow. So what are you trying to say, Lane Kiffin? They must be friends.
Maybe.
I mean, why would he be walking by his press conference?
I don't know. Maybe they have like the SEC network up in the facility, you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Paul!
You know that he just has like Paul Feinbaum on just to make fun of him while he.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey guys, look at this guy."
Undesirable.
What's wrong with that one?
Lemon. Nobody likes the lemon Jolly Rancher.
Cam Ward. This was his reaction to Callahan getting fired in Tennessee.
This is really not for me to say. That's not my thing in the building. My job is to play quarterback. My job is to help lead this team to win. So I'm gonna support whatever decision we make. The guys in the locker room are gonna support it. But at the end of the day, with coach and without coach, like, we're trying to win football games. That's the main message that, you know, Coach Mike is preaching, and we just got to live by it and stay true to it.
Man.
He gives all the right answers, man.
He does.
He's one of the few quarterbacks that came in as a rookie, and nobody said, "That guy's a bust." Everybody said, "I feel so bad for Cam Ward," right? That never happens.
Dade South says, "You could tell who's intangible or not by their favorite Hall & Oates song." Do you have a favorite Hall & Oates song?
No. I just like all generic. To him.
I would say I like Dreams Come True. I like that song.
You make my dreams come true. Ooh, 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 ooh. There's Oates. Well, Did Hall ever have? He didn't even get his time to shine, right?
I don't think so, dude.
Right.
Just a wingman.
Wingman.
Brad Marchand was on the TNT broadcast before yesterday's game, and he was asked about Anton Lundell. This is what he had to say.
Anton Lundell, he's a player that your coaching staff has talked about, saying he's going to take that next step this year. You guys led the postseason in even strength goals. Pump his tires a little bit for the viewing audience at home.
Yeah, he's probably the best-looking guy I've ever played with. Phenomenal line. Yeah, just great dude. But no, he, in all seriousness, he is an unbelievable two-way player. So responsible in both ends of the rink. You know, his stick details at such a young age and kind of knowing where to position himself to support the D, support the wingers. And then he's very strong with his stick. And you know, I think last year you saw his abilities to make plays and to finish plays, and he knows where to go to be around the net. And, you know, he's not scared to be in the battle. So he's got an incredible future in front of him. And this team's been very blessed to have him in the three hole. You know, he's a 1-2 on any team. And, you know, so it's been a treat for this team to have him there. And you're starting to see what he can do with some more ice time and some power play. You know, so like I said, he's got a bright future.
There you go, Brad Marchand on Lundy. But mostly he's just saying, dude's handsome.
Handsome.
Mr. Las Olas.
What'd you spell?
What are you doing?
I didn't spill anything.
Why are you dispersing the Jolly Rancher gummies?
Because I was scared
from
a bag
to a cup.
I was scared I was making too much noise with the bag.
Oh, now you're scared?
Yeah. Plus, I want to avoid the undesirables.
Sort it out.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice, he said after the game yesterday, Cats not where they want to be after back-to-back road losses.
First back-to-back of the season. What's the message for the guys heading into tomorrow in Jersey?
Well, I got a message for him, but I'm not sharing that yet. Yeah. We're still not quite at our level in a couple areas, and that's all. I'd like to see the improvement tomorrow. And so we got one line intact right now from last year, and I didn't start that way. So we finished that way. There's different tendencies on players that you have to kind of get used to, for sure, right? So for Bennett, both his wingers are different. For Reinhardt, centerman's different, and so there's some little growing pains for sure.
Going through it, trying to come together. Marchand though has been off to an incredible start. Had a wraparound yesterday. They gave up a 5-on-3 power play. 5-on-3. I mean, come on,
jeez,
brutal, dude, brutal. So that's your mixed bag. Cats are back at it tonight. They take on the New Jersey Devils. Had to go from New Jersey, from Detroit to New Jersey.
Do we have other goalie?
I would guess so. I haven't looked officially. I don't know if they've had. I don't even think they have morning skate today. So I don't think we're going to find out till like 4. But I would guess that Tarasov's going to play. I think that's probably that would make sense. Bob played good yesterday. That was, you know.
Yeah, the score is deceiving because they got two empty netters.
Yeah, it was really more. It was more so a 2-1 filthy. And then the Cats tried to press, pull Bob. And I think, you know, Maurice said this. He's like, look, we're going to need the best out of Bob because we're not going to get it. He senses already they're not going to have as much offense this year right now, especially early on. They're getting to know each other. Obviously don't have Barkov. They don't have – who's one of the best playmakers, you know, best two-way hockey players. Like, I told everybody – I was nervous about this. Not about the Cats repeating. Like, they can get it together. I think I believe in them as a champion that they'll get it. But I could definitely see this being a wonky start to the season at times.
Even though they started 3-0?
They did. But I think there's going to be, like, when you get out on the road, you're not as comfortable. I think, when you play in that building, it's juiced up. All the young guys, I think that could fuel you a little bit. But and these haven't been blowout losses. I just think that they're not that you can see they're not as crisp. They're not a machine, and it's got to come together. But look, I think they could bounce back. They could definitely win. They've been into these games, you know. Just some things that like haven't gotten through all the way. So
are Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa trying to save their jobs?
They have to show the waddle pop.
Let me say this.
Woo!
Tua's going to be here next year, whether you like it or not.
They're putting up his dead cap number next year is $99.2 million.
Yeah.
Is that
that's
a lot?
What I'm saying. That's a 45% of the cap.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Unless you just have a bunch of bums. Just put on the Army helmet.
Nope. You're just going to – you got another year or two. Whether somebody else can do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
You got one more year or two at least. Because you think your team's bad now? take $99 million off of it and still be paying it out, and you can't go sign nobody. Then tell me how bad your team is. So,
hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.